Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
So much to do. We're down to 3.5 weeks until the NFL draft. I cannot wait for that. I have no idea what the Giants are going to do. A lot of rumors about the Jets moving down. We'll go there later. Mets, Yankees, we're still riding high, at least the Mets fan. I mean, the Yankee fan, if you can't beat Baltimore, you've got real, real problems. But the Mets fan, still riding high after that Thursday victory. Day off yesterday, back at it today, 1 o'clock in the nation's capital, and now you get to see Noah Syndergaard. Guy that we're so excited about, had a lot to say this offseason. He's on the mound for the Mets at 1 o'clock. Yankees, you see what how heavily the Yankees are favored in this game today? They're 4-1 favorites, like unheard of favorites in a baseball game. Baltimore is just that awful. I'm not saying don't be excited about the Yankees having, game two and at the stadium afternoon. Absolutely. But you sit there and you watch Baltimore and you realize they're not bad. They're bad to a level that you've almost never seen before. So we'll get to baseball, certainly. Little bit of the NBA. Big hockey game today. It's a big hockey game. What's the big hockey game? 11:45 right here on 98.7. FDNY, NYPD does not get bigger. Sells out the Garden. But we start with college basketball. And 800-919-3776. And we'll do all the things that we do. Stump Rothenberg at 10:30. RJ Bell at 11 o'clock. Bash for Cash during this show. So a lot going on. But we start with college basketball, and starts early last night. Michigan State cruises. They look like they're playing their best basketball right now. They destroy LSU. Really not all that competitive. And then at 7:35, you start to watch Auburn and North Carolina. And Carolina takes a lead as they head into halftime, but Auburn comes back. I think Auburn had a 2-point lead. They scored like the last 5 or 7 at the end of the first half. And you watch the game, you think Carolina's going to win because Carolina's better. Just Auburn continues to hit their shots over and over and over and over and over. And then in the second half, they're just raining threes, draining them from the right, from the left, from down. I mean, just all over the place. And they wind up blowing North Carolina out of the water. So that's your first upset in the tournament where you're, oh, my God, right? My bracket is busted. Half the people in my pool had North Carolina going to the Final Four. Luke May. I mean, we know this Carolina team. They've been good forever. Good this year. Kobe White, very talented. Apparently the flu is going around that team. I don't want to make excuses for them. And they just really got outplayed from pillar to post yesterday. And then right after that game, Duke and Virginia Tech. And I had said it on our show, Humpty, Canty, and Rothy, during the week 10-1 here on 98.7. I had said numerous times I thought Duke was going to have their way. Well, a couple of things. Yeah, I did. Duke did not have their way, but in pregame warmups, and this has to be a concern for Duke moving forward, in pregame warmups, Cam Reddish, knee, acting up, he can't play. So now you have your third best player out for the entire game, and you know right away, you're watching the game, and you can tell, you know, sometimes you watch a game and you say, Duke's in the game against whoever, and then at the end, they're absolutely going to win. This was the opposite. As you watched minute 3, 4, 8, you knew that this game was going to come down to the wire. And Duke, for this team that we all looked at and we said is so sensational and so phenomenal, at least to me, has looked so unbelievably flawed so far in this tournament. So unbelievably flawed. And I'll tell you what, it took every ounce of anything for them to win this game last night. Trey Jones played his best game of his college career. He went 5 of 7 from 3. He played sensational defense. He was excellent on both ends of the court. Zion did what Zion does. He had this dunk where he jumped. I think his head might have touched the bottom part of the moon. Now, he's unbelievable. And Virginia Tech just stayed in that game and stayed in that game and stayed in that game. And then Duke had a 7-point lead, late stages. Virginia Tech cuts it to 5. Then they cut it to 2. And then they foul Trey Jones. And as great as he was for the entire game, and he really was, he steps up, and this is an Achilles heel for Duke. And keep in mind that we've seen this now a couple of times this year from them. He goes up, misses the one and one, and Virginia Tech gets the ball and comes back down. Now, Virginia Tech hoists a three, misses it terribly from the corner. The ball goes off RJ Barrett. Was it Barrett? I forget who it went off of. It goes off. No, Virginia Tech got the rebound, kicks it out. Buzz Williams takes a timeout. So you got Virginia Tech down by two with the ball with 5 seconds to go. And Buzz Williams is a really good basketball coach. And now you have this panic of, oh my God. Like, you never really believed it. You kind of saw it was slowly happening. And then you have this feeling of, oh my God, can Duke lose this game? Because if Virginia Tech hits a three right here, this is it. So Virginia Tech comes out of the huddle. They run this play. I didn't like the play at all. They set up the a three from the right side from about 25 feet. The kid completely bricks it. It goes out of bounds off of RJ Barrett. They replay it. They put 1.1 seconds on the clock. And it's the same situation. I mean, all it takes is a kid running free in three-point land, hits the shot, game over. And Buzz Williams calls one of the great plays you've ever seen. And anybody that says anything to the contrary just doesn't understand the game of basketball. They run this back screen off Zion, and the kid goes in an alley-oop, wide-open shot from, I don't know, 2 feet right in front of the basket. And he misses wide left. And it clangs off the rim, and Duke again gets out of Dodge, winning this game by two. But you can't tell me that if you pick Duke or you're a Duke fan, then watching them through three games, specifically the last two, that you are not extremely concerned about what they are. 800-919-3776. Here is Mike Krzyzewski on CBS immediately following his team's victory.
Coach, another nail biter. What did you just say to these guys here?
I love these guys. And, you know, we beat a heck of a team, and we figured out a way to get the ball to Zion and RJ in the second half. And then our defense was very good. They're a hell of a team. They're an old team and good, and I'm proud of my guys.
You mentioned that adversity and losing Cam Reddish right before the game. And what did you tell your team in the locker room before they came back out?
Yeah, just for the second half. Yeah, in the second, we were playing well. I said, maintain your enthusiasm. And RJ, don't be frustrated. He only had one bucket. And I said, we'll figure out how you and Zion will get the ball. And they trusted us, and they make things happen if you get them the ball.
And they did. And Zion was absolutely, not forget about the dunk, because that's what everyone's going to watch, and it's the highlight film, and the way the kid can absolutely jump through the gym. That's not the story. The story is that he's sensational. He had a block shot on one end. He got beaten off the dribble by a little guard. The ball was taken to the basket the other way, past him, and he somehow recovers, blocks it off glass, down Duke goes, Trey Jones pulls up, hits a foul line shot, 4-point swing. He's sensational, and he's efficient too. He was 11 of 14 from the floor last night for 23 with 6 rebounds as well. He's a wonderful player, and I don't think there's any doubt at this point that he is the number one pick in the NBA draft. Duke, how many points do you think they got from Cam didn't even play, but from outside of the big three freshmen? 4 points from Delorier, 4 points from O'Connell, and 4 points from Bolden. They got 12 non-freshman points last night. 23 from Zion, 22 from Trey Jones, 18 from RJ Barrett. You know what Duke shot from the floor? And Duke's usually not a great shooting team. 55%. Duke, for the second game in a row, got out of Dodge. Because I don't know that you can sit here and say they deserve to win that game. They didn't deserve to win the game against Central Florida. They got lucky to win that. They got fortunate to win last night. All that being said, Michigan State up tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Now, I will tell you this. If Cam Reddish does not play and is not healthy, I don't see Duke getting by tomorrow. I don't. I've been very unimpressed. And I knew that their Achilles heel was shooting, but they were so dominant at so many points during the season, and they just have not looked like that at all so far this tournament. Now, you win, you move on, you advance to see another day. But right now, I'd be surprised if Duke won the championship.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Alexander Walker on the right-hand wing. Jumps it underneath. Intercepted. Trey Jones with a steal as he was trying to hit P.J. Horn. Now Jones lobbing. Zion Williamson put his tape on and soared to the rim for the two-hand flush. 58-52. Superman is in the building.
Courtesy of Westwood One. I mean, that was when that play happened, if you're old enough to remember, and I'm sure, sadly, lots of you aren't. When Duke won their first championship in 1991, they beat UNLV and then they played Kansas in the final. There was an alley-oop thrown to Grant Hill where he went up, and I don't even think I'm exaggerating, went up at least a foot and a half over the rim, right-handed, caught it with one hand and slammed it home. And when that play happened last night, my first thought was, that's what it reminds me of. Now, he went up with two hands, caught it well above the rim and slammed it home. He is just, here's the thing about him. Every time you watch Zion play, he does something that makes you say, I can't believe that. Every time. He must have had three at the break. Ty says to me, he goes, did you see the one where he was doubled and he passed it across the lane to Trey Jones for the three? Yeah, he had that. He had that unbelievable block that I talked about earlier when he got beaten off the dribble. He was beaten off the dribble. And the guard goes in for a little layup, and he somehow comes out of nowhere to block it off glass, and they come down and score on the other end. He had the alley-oop. I mean, last night, top of my head, three plays that were like, wow, every single game. And there's not many of you at this point. Well, he's not big enough. Stop it. I mean, he's athletic like you rarely, if ever, see. 800-919-3776. Joel in Jersey is on 98.7. Lead us off, Joel.
Dave, how are you, buddy? God bless you. I haven't talked to you in a while. First of all, I just wanted to touch on this because I haven't gotten a chance to talk to you. I'm a referee for the same age as your kids in high school in New Jersey. If I catch you cheating on a clock, you know I'm running out of the building. You know that, right?
Yeah,
I know. But I would do the same thing from a daddy's standpoint. You know that. We all would.
Yeah, of course. Okay. This is what you have to do.
Absolutely, and I think you're a great guy with your kid acting crazy in a sense. Listen to me. There's a lot to be said for Alonzo Ball's dad because that's me.
No, he's a lunatic.
That's crazy.
No, come on.
He is a lunatic. You're right.
He can't even see the line. He's so far crossing.
You're right. You're right. But somewhere between him and people that just sit there and don't do anything for the kid lies me and you. I'm right there with you on the.
Yeah, listen. Okay. We're right in the middle. I mean, I'm not going to do things like him. I'm not going to embarrass my kid to the level. I'm not going to call out for the coach's job. No, he's out of his mind.
No, I'm proud to be in the middle, to be somewhere in the middle. Okay, Dave, with all due respect, I mean, I'm a ref. I mean, come on, he's gotten one offensive foul call. He's a bull in a china shop. He's a great player, but I got this.
You're talking about Zion?
Yeah, they missed a lot of calls. Forget about the one last game against Central Florida in the lane at the end of the game. That was a blatant offensive foul. But last night, they finally got the Onions to call one. That was the first offensive foul he received in the tournament. You see the way he goes through the basket?
And you know what, Joel? That could have easily been a block. Yep. Easily been a block. Yep. I thought the guy was moving across the lane when he was in the air.
Yes, and I think Grant Hill's go-get-it was better than his go-get-it last night.
I agree with that, but did it not remind you of what Grant Hill did in 91? Like, wasn't that one of the first things you thought of when you saw that dunk last night?
And let me tell you, I went to the high school that was the adversary of Bobby Hurley. I went to St. Peter's Prep, which is right next to St. Anthony's.
Mm-hmm. So St. Anthony's not even in existence anymore.
No, it's not. They couldn't get the money to get it back. But Bobby Hurley's father is like one of the icons where we grew up. But I love your show, man. I don't want to see Duke win. Come on.
I don't think you're going to, Joel. I really don't. Thanks for the phone call. I don't think they're going to win. I mean, if Cam Reddish doesn't play, I mean, now they're relying on Jack White and Alex O'Connell. They're just not good enough.
But they still have two lottery picks.
So what?
They still so clearly have the best players on the floor at all
times. They are playing guys that should not be playing meaningful moments. I mean, they don't have enough scoring. I love having you just like this voice of God starts screaming at me. There's no like, hey, Dave, let me sit. You just start screaming at me.
Because it's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous. If Cam Reddish does not play, they don't have, now last night they did, and he had his best game as a collegian, but they don't have enough shooting. You can argue till you're blue in the face, Ty, they do not have enough shooting.
They have the best player in basketball, and maybe the second best player in college basketball. You don't think that's enough to win a national championship?
Nah.
If
Cam Reddish does not come back, of the eight teams remaining, I would say they're probably in that four range to win a title.
That's insane.
It's not insane. It's true. If Cam Reddish doesn't play, Michigan State, I don't even know what the number will be. They probably don't have it yet, but Michigan State, I would think, would win that game. If they don't have Cam Reddish and they play Gonzaga, they will absolutely lose that game.
And I guarantee you, Duke would be favored to win both of those games.
Maybe. If he doesn't play, if they're favorite, it will be by the slimmest of margins. But what? So what? So then go the other way and become wealthy. James in Spring Valley. James, you're on 98.7.
Mr. Rothenberg, what's going on?
What's up, James?
Not much. I was watching Duke, and Duke has not played well this entire tournament. And as a guy who is a Michigan State fan, it will be pleased me more to see Michigan State win. But Duke has the best player in the country in Zion. So what chance do you give my Sparties?
I give Michigan State an excellent chance, period. If Reddish does not play, I would pick Michigan State to win the game.
Really?
Yeah. Duke escaped from dodging game one. They got fortunate last night. No, Duke has not impressed me so far in this tournament. Now, I'm not saying Zion hasn't. I'm not saying that Trey Jones has not. But overall, I've been unimpressed from what I've seen from Duke as a whole in two games. Not the first one. You're playing a team that you can't compete.
Yeah, because the first game was a team that didn't even belong in the same
game. Yeah, I mean,
the
first one is cake. And the second one, they should have lost. And the third one, they could have lost.
Yeah, and I agree. I hope Michigan State wins. I pick Michigan State to go all the way to the championship game, you know, because I pick with my heart instead of my head. But, you know, hopefully we'll see. Thanks for taking my call, Dave. Have a good day.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, who's a more complete team? Michigan State is the more complete team. Who has the better player? Duke. Who has the better two players? Duke. But as far as 1-7, Michigan State is the better overall team. If Cam Reddish does not play... you make it sound like it's just easy. If Cam Reddish does not play, and they have an off night from three, they will absolutely lose. Mitch in East Windsor. Mitch, you're on 98.7.
Morning, Dave.
What's up, Mitch?
How you doing?
Good.
They got three guys that are going to be the lottery picks. I got a feeling that Reddish will probably be a Nick because they probably wouldn't get the fourth pick.
Why would you do that? Why would you RJ, call to put that kind of karma out there in the universe? Why would you do that?
I just got a feeling that Phoenix isn't getting the number one pick again.
Why? We're weeks away. We've guaranteed already that it's at least 14%. We're on the verge of guaranteeing that we can't go worse than fifth. Why would you call, Mitch, and throw it out there into the universe that the Knicks are going to wind up with Reddish at four?
He's a good player. The guy, he's a good player.
Let me tell you something. If you tell me the Knicks get Reddish at four, I would be unbelievably disappointed.
Well, I'm sure there's other players.
Like another player by the name of Zion Williamson, like Ja Morant. Cam Reddish is fine. I think he'll be a nice NBA player. If I wind up with Cam Reddish from this draft, I will be very disappointed.
How about RJ? Bob Ball, I mean, he'd be a number one pick if it wasn't for Zion.
Mitch, he'd be the number one pick if not for Zion. I have Zion. I have what looks to be the next Patrick Ewing, Akeem Olajuwon, Michael Jordan, LeBron James.
LeBron.
Right? Why in the world would I say, well, if not for this unbelievable player, thanks for the call, Mitch, if not for this godlike player, R.J. Barrett could go one. Yeah. And if there was no Zion and Morant and you got R.J. Barrett, you'd be thrilled. But once you see the potential of what's out there, why in the world would you not want to match up with that? Harrison and Marlboro. Harrison, you're on 98.7.
Hi, I just want to say that Duke isn't going to win the title. And I just want to know, did you just say that Zion is the next Michael Jordan?
I'm saying of that ilk. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Michael Jordan. I'm just saying.
Zion's going to be a bust.
You're a bust. Come on.
He's going to be a bust. You're a bust as a commentator.
Well, right, goodbye, Harrison. Thanks. That's great. I just want to say Michigan State. All right, great. I mean, how you can watch him play, and I don't care if you don't like Duke, if you love Duke, whatever, and say, yeah, I don't see him being a big-time player at the next level, you're missing a lot then. Like I said, he doesn't really have a weakness in his game. His outside shooting's not great, but everyone says, oh, he doesn't shoot well. He's not a bad outside shooter, and that's the one thing that can be taught. He's not going to be a bust. He's a surefire big-time player. I think John Morant is not far off from that, by the way. But if I get Cam Reddish, oh, my God, would I be disappointed. Not because Cam, there's nothing wrong with Cam Reddish. But when you have the potential of the crown jewel and you wind up with just a normal diamond or even a nice diamond, you're disappointed. So I had a wild time last night, wild time. So you've heard the stories, I imagine, of my 8-year-old, of Alex, just being this, and I don't even know where he gets this, fanatical North Carolina fan, right? And we're watching the game. Every time, and Auburn is hitting three. Olay! They're hitting threes like they couldn't miss. And every time they hit one, he just sits there and he goes, oh, my God! Oh, my God! And he takes his shirt and he puts it, like, over the middle part of his face. So just his eyes are peering out. He goes, I can't even watch it anymore. I can't even watch it. And then at, like, the 7-minute mark, when Auburn's up by 15, it's getting red, and the eyes are welling up. I can tell he's going to cry. And with about 4 minutes to go, with Auburn up by, 17 points, you can see the tears start to stream down his face. And I've talked about the fanaticism that he is as a fan. And I thought it would give everyone insight into what I deal with at home. I took a picture and I posted it on Twitter. How does that make me bad?
No, you didn't think it would give anyone insight. You thought it was comical. You tell this story with such enjoyment. This is your 8-year-old kid. Well, and you're enjoying the fact that he's depressed over his favorite team losing.
No, but he was not depressed. It's not like he went into Dad, I gotta go to bed. He's full out sobbing. Like, if you walked into my home last night and you said, oh, did his grandpa die? Like, you would have thought that something horrible happened.
But he gets it from you.
Yeah,
you're
the reason he's
this way. And for you to take such enjoyment.
I don't. Why would you think I enjoy it?
Because you took a picture of it and you put it on Twitter.
Well, because I wanted everyone to see. I mean, this is what you do. You let people in behind the curtain.
No.
People
absolutely.
Say, oh, come on, it can't really be like this. You're not like this. He's not like this. There's no, yes!
And what's so disappointing and frustrating.
And I took a video as well. But I didn't post that.
What's so frustrating for me is you can relate to this kind of behavior and emotion because you're the same way with your teams. So for you to take such joy in watching your son go through this, it's distasteful.
See, I don't know where you get the fact that there was joy.
Because you're to me, when you tweet out a picture that way and you put
so
them on blast.
Anything that I tweet out just means I'm taking great joy. And I didn't want the Giants to take Barkley number 2. I was angry about it. I tweeted about it. There was no joy.
Yeah, but the way you frame it, when your 8-year-old realizes his favorite college hoops team is done, hashtag UNC March Madness, that sounds like you're enjoying this whole thing. Like it's a show for everyone to see.
No, it's a statement. It's a statement of fact. He realized his team was done. This is what happens. Now I'm letting you in behind the curtain.
He should take a picture of you when the Giants start 1-7 next year.
Throw that on Twitter. There's questions around the station. Is Ty a bad guy? Ty's a bad guy.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
The Mets and Yankees this afternoon. The college basketball. I mean, this is a great time of year. NFL draft is not far off. We're less than 4 weeks away. The ping pong ball celebration is May 14th. You see it all coming down the pike now. Very stressful and exciting. Rangers with a win last night. Just get us to the end of the Rangers. Get us to the end of the Knicks. And let's see if the Knicks can somehow win the offseason. Because do you realize that the Knicks could go from, I mean, clearly the worst team in the NBA, to being a team that is must-watch every single night? Now, if you solely got Zion, you'd be become that kind of team. If you get Zion, Durant, Kyrie, you see Kyrie last night hitting this game-winning shot. He's in a big spot, big moment. I still will take Kyrie taking a shot. He's so good. You imagine that? I mean, you can't. You can't even get your wrap your head around the fact of what the Knicks would be if they had a great offseason. Because it's just unbelievable. 800-919-3776. We'll get into the NFL in 90 seconds. Let's go to Sammy in Staten Island. Sam, you're on 98.7.
Dave, you are the man. Don LaGreca is right. You're the best pound-for-pound radio host at ESPN.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it.
All right, so, Dave, I'm a diehard Knicks fan, and all right, we're going to put our depressed hats on for a second. I did the tankathon.com simulation 10 times, and the Knicks got the number one pick once. With the new odds...
Yeah, but you know what, Sam? Sadly, you're not far off from those being the odds.
So what makes...
Sam, they have a 14% chance.
So we're just going to get Phoenix with the number one pick, and they're going to get Zion. So more
failure. It's possible. But if you tell me that if you got Ja Morant, you wouldn't be ecstatic.
Okay, but put it this way. If we're all in and we got Dennis Smith Jr. and we're piling up all these future first-round picks and assets, and do you think the new regime would still bring in a Ja Morant? Or...
Understand the question. If you get the number two pick or number three pick, of course you would bring in Ja Morant.
Yeah, but if you still have Dennis Smith Jr. on the roster, you're thinking about bringing in Kyrie. Where is Ja Morant going to play? He needs to have the ball.
I'll find a spot for him. I mean, I'm not drafting a guy because I'm Dennis Smith. I can move Dennis Smith. I'm not worried about that. Kyrie Irving. You know what? Those are good problems to have. So then one of those guys can play off the ball when they're on the court together. I'm not worried about it. If I get Durant, Morant, and Kyrie, I think you'll figure out a way to make it work.
We can only hope, Dave.
We can only hope is right, and I appreciate the call, Sam. 800-919-3776. All right, we'll spend a couple minutes on the NFL. So we're 3.5 weeks from the draft. We have no idea what either of these teams are going to do. And I thought this was interesting with what Mike Maccagnan had to say about the Jets and the three pick. And it sounds like, and I don't like this, unless you just get blown away to the point you're like, oh my God, you got an extra one this year and a two next year. I don't love the fact that the Jets moving down. I really don't. Cause you know that at three, you're going to either get Josh Allen or Nick Bosa. And that's exactly what they need. They need a guy that can turn the corner and get to the quarterback. It's been forever since the Jets have been able to do that. So, you know, that to me is the direction I'd like to see them go. Now, again, if you get offered something, if somebody falls in love with the Haskins or somehow Kyler Murray, because it sounds now like there's rumblings that maybe Kyler Murray doesn't go one, and if he doesn't go one, would he fall to where the Jets are at three? And here's the thing. If he doesn't go one and Bosa and Allen go 1-2, then maybe you're the Jets and you do move back and you let someone move up and take Kyler Murray. So I don't know the machinations of it, and I never say never. And that's why, to me, it's so frustrating when I look and I see what the Giants did last year. Because to go into the draft and just say, there's no two ways about it. This is what we're doing, and if you call, we're not even answering the phone. But ideally, would I like to see the Jets take the best edge rusher at three, either Bosa or Allen? Yeah, that to me is the ideal. So, I'm excited about the potential of the Jets this year. That they've had a really good offseason. I don't think a lot of people recognize how good Mosley is going to be for this team. Your secondary is good already. You'll improve the defensive line. The defense should be the strength of this football team. And offensively, you've added, if not the best running back in football, certainly one of the top three or four, and certainly the most... I mean, maybe you could say Saquon is this guy now, but multidimensional. I mean, there's no weakness in Le'Veon Bell's game. There's really not. He runs the football effectively. He catches the football effectively. He blocks effectively. He could be a three-down back if you need. So, I mean, to say I'm all in on the Jets, I'm not there yet. But do I see the potential? Do I think they're having a good offseason? Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, and I've heard a lot of people with this, this needs to be a playoff team this year. I think that's unfair. I think you're jumping the gun with that. Because right off the bat, you look at it and you say, they're not going to win the division. So now I got to be one of the next two best teams in the entire conference? It's a lot to ask for. But you like the direction. And the Giants, I don't know. I just, it's not even like I hate it at this point. It's I don't even know what it is. So you trade Beckham, you get the 17. Apparently they love Jabril Peppers. What direction do you go in now? Where do you take the quarterback? Do you take the quarterback? Here's the thing. They can wind up with Josh Rosen. They can wind up with Drew Locke. They can wind up with Dwayne Haskins. They can wind up with Daniel Jones. They can wind up with Will Greer. Or they can wind up saying, you know what? We're going to stand pat and we'll deal with this next year. You have no idea. None. 800-919-3776. Quickly, let's go to Marvin in Brooklyn. Marvin, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, good morning, man. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Marv?
All right, I had a question about the Jets, the draft. Say a quarterback gets pushed back to three, like a Kyler Murray or Haskins. You think the Jets could trade with maybe the Buccaneers for, like, say, a Mike Evans and a couple other picks? Just to have a number one receiver.
I don't see the Bucs trading Evans because I think that they're all in on Winston for this year to try and give him the best chance to win. So I don't see the Bucs as a team that's going to move up and take the quarterback. I could be wrong. But if Murray or Haskins is there, and you got to figure one of the two of them is going to be there, and you're the Jets, that also means that Bosa or Josh Allen is there. And like I've said, Marvin, thanks for the call. That's the direction I would like to see the Jets go in. I mean, you're a big Jets fan out there, right? When was the last time you had a guy you said, line him up on the edge, and he can go around the corner and get to the quarterback? John Abraham? Well, when did John Abraham play? Jason in Brooklyn. Jason, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. I could not agree with you more about the Jets situation. I think I'm not trading that pick unless I get a... You know, I don't offer. I cannot refuse, and it's got to be a lot because I don't want to miss out on a Bosa or an Allen. But I'll do you one better. I don't want to miss out on Quinn and Williams. I would take Quinn and Williams if Bosa is gone, and I kind of like him a little.
Bosa's
going to
be gone.
I love Allen.
Jay, there's no way that I see Bosa sitting there at three.
I agree, but I just don't want to miss out on a home run hitter on defense because, and this is why I want them to address the majority of their needs in free agency. And I don't really think they did. They added, a couple of home run hitters, but there's still a lot of holes. And I don't want to trade back, to try and reach to fill holes and pass up on an elite player. And I think that that's what they're
going to get. I've said it, Jay. I think you're 100% right. I don't. Now, is there a deal that you could be offered that you just can't refuse? Of course. So you never say never. But unless that happens, I'd be inclined to see the Jets stay at three, take the best player available, and not worry about, picks later in the draft or next year.
Right on, brother.
All right, appreciate it, Jay.
He's pompous.
Listen, shut up, and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply face, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
You can try. I think last time out we hit 1,000. We were like 6 for 6 or something, Ty. It was a really unprecedented. I don't feel great today, to be honest with you, but we'll battle through.
I don't know. It feels like you're building in an excuse.
No, we're gamers. I mean, this is what we do.
Okay, let's see.
Even like Duke may not be at the top of our game, but still move on to the next round. 800-919-3776. You claim your question is excellent, Ty.
Yeah, it's a gem, like it is every week.
We'll see.
It goes underappreciated, but let's have that.
Your work, your questions, or what?
Everything.
Let me break out my violin for you.
Underappreciated.
Let's go to John. Can we start the segment, Ty, or you want to?
All yours, buddy.
All right. John in Queens. Why don't you start Stump Rothenberg? John, you're on 98.7.
How you doing, Dave?
Good.
Good. I've got an animal question for you.
Animals, yes.
I'm going to give you a series of cues and clues, and you have to guess the animal.
All right.
Ready?
Wait, is this a legitimate? I don't want to play password. Is this just a
No, 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 no. It's legitimate.
Question.
No, it's legitimate.
All right.
Okay. So it's a mammal. It eats ants and termites. It can roll into a ball. It has scales all over its body. And it's not an armadillo.
Is an anteater an armadillo?
Well, no. Anteaters and armadillos are two different animals. And it's not an anteater either. It's not an anteater.
I got to be honest. I think this question is not great. But what's the answer?
It's a pangolin.
All right. That's Ty, come on. You're screening these people. This is not Password where he gives me clues to an answer. Just ask a question. You would agree, Ty, that was horrendous.
Point.
You would agree, right?
Yes, it was awful.
And you understand my shaking of the head right now.
He's never getting back on the air.
Yeah. Ban him. You can get banned right now.
Yes.
Or at least not welcome back for a long time.
Stomp Rothenberg is going to a new level.
What?
Stomp Rothenberg is going to a new level.
It may go away with questions like that. Jim in Sayville. Jim, you're on Stomp Rothenberg.
Hey.
Jim.
Good morning. I have an NBA question for you, Dave.
All right, speak up. I can barely hear you.
Four times in the history of the NBA, did two opposing players score 50 points in the same game? Name the last two players to do it.
50 points? Nah, I don't know. I'm going to say Kobe and I have no idea. Kobe Bryant and Kevin Durant.
So close, Dave. Kobe Bryant, but this one would have been really tough. Antoine Jameson, 2000.
Was it the Washington Wizards, Antoine Jameson? Must have been. All right. Play that with such vitriol. Let's go to Chris and Bethpage. Chris is usually pretty good on Stump Rothenberg.
Yep. I always bring the heat, Dave. Anyhow, in the history of baseball, only one player has ever gotten up three times in an inning and not got a hit. And I'll tell you this much. This is the good one. It's a good question. He's an all-time great. All-time great.
All-time
he got three
great.
Times in an inning. He walked twice and grounded out. Three times in an inning, no hit.
Tony Gwynn.
No, Ted Williams.
All right. I think the questions are not great today, to be honest. And I can only blame Ty for that. Let's go to Trey in Brooklyn. Trey, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave, I got to ask you this before I ask my question. I talked to Larry Hardesty last night. Is it true that you came within 10 of knowing how many dots were on a football?
I don't remember that question. But
Larry Hardesty said he remembers somebody asking you that, and that blew his mind. So I had to bring that up to you first.
All right. What do you got today, Trey?
That's crazy. All right. Who is the only player in NCAA history, in NCAA tournament history, excuse me, to have back-to-back triple-doubles in seasons? So he did it twice in back-to-back seasons. Who's the player?
Draymond Green.
Absolutely wrong. I'll give you another guess because that was a quick answer.
You know what? We don't do the second guess anymore, so I'm not going to take the answer. Bill Bradley. Oh, he didn't give us the answer, Ty. You guys aren't on your game.
I know the answer. It's Oscar Robertson.
Okay. Well, that's a good question. Carlos in Connecticut. Carlos, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, morning, guys. Very straightforward question, human anatomy. How many cervical vertebrae are in the human spine?
Cervical vertebrae in the spine. It's got to be 7.
Correct.
Yeah. No follow-up question, the one question. All right, so we slowly make our way back here. Let's go to Mike in Farmingdale. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, Mike?
All right, here we go. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Where are you going here? What's the topic?
U.S. geography.
All right, nice.
Okay. Which of the 5 Hawaiian islands was created first?
All right, so it could be Oahu. Kauai?
You, sir, are correct.
Yeah. Oh, I just had to run through the islands in my head. All right, so now we got 2 in a row, and I feel like we've kind of righted the ship. Let's go to John in Jersey. John, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave, I got a football question for you.
I like football.
Who's the only coach to win both the Super Bowl and the Rose Bowl?
So Super Bowl and Rose Bowl. I don't think it was Bill Walsh. Because I don't think Stanford ever won it. Pete Carroll?
Nope. Dick Vermeil.
All right, you won at UCLA, and then that's a good question. I like that question. Let's go to Alvin in Jersey. Alvin, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, what's going on? Okay, this is a sports movie.
Mm-hmm.
The first movie of Major League, how many seconds did Willie Mays Hayes ran when he found out that he wasn't on the team? He wasn't in the pajamas.
Give me the question again.
In the movie Major League,
yeah.
How many seconds did Willie Mays Hayes ran when he woke up in his pajamas? When he found out that he wasn't on the team.
How many seconds did he run for?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, 34.
Pajamas, right?
Yeah, I remember the scene. I don't remember the answer. 34.
No, it was a trick question. They don't show it.
What are you doing? That's a terrible question. I think we might skip next week, Ty. I'm very, very unimpressed with the questions today. Let's go to John in Manhattan. John, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave.
What's going on, John? How are you?
Okay. It's entertainment. Singer John Legend was the most recent person to complete the awards Grand Slam, winning an Oscar, Emmy, a Tony, and a Grammy. Right. But who was the first person to do it?
What's the name of that, by the way? Do you know what the name of that is?
I have no idea. I know that they gave it a name, but I don't remember what it is.
So you want the first one to ever do it?
The very first person. It happened a long time ago.
So it's what? It's an EGOT is what it's called, right?
Yes, yes.
So it's an Oscar, a Tony, a Grammy, and an Emmy.
Yes.
And you want the first person to ever win it?
Yes.
That's a good question. The first ever EGOT winner. Whoopi Goldberg won it, but she can't be the first.
No, she's not the first.
No. Could it be Audrey Hepburn? I don't know that she won it. Is it male or female? Can I ask you that, or is it Richard Rodgers?
I'll tell you, female native New Yorker.
Rita Moreno.
That's it.
All right, Ty. I think we're going to end it. Do you have a question, Ty?
No, we're done.
Why you sound so defeated?
Yeah, that was a very demoralizing. I'm very disappointed with our listening audience.
So you agree, right?
Yes, I agree.
I mean, trick questions. What are we doing?
Yeah,
we streamlined it a couple weeks ago. We got to streamline it again.
Yeah, not a good showing today.
But I was okay. I got a couple right.
You were fine.
You had a few right.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you. So you Luke Voit had an opening day home run in his first plate appearance. Mm. This also happened for the Yankees last year. Who was the guy who hit the home run?
Oh, my God. So it was his first plate appearance, but wait, of the season?
His
That's
first plate appearance opening day.
I have no idea. I'll say Greg Bird.
It was Giancarlo Stanton.
No, that didn't count, Michelle. We already had ended it. Just give me the ding now.
Still counts.
No, I don't think so. It's RJ Bell. Good morning, RJ. How you doing?
You know, I'll take the good co-host, but let's just say influential, an influencer in Vegas.
Oh, listen, a man that really dominates the strip. What I've heard is you can't go to Vegas without taking advice from RJ Bell.
Well, let's just say most people is going to do better with a little advice. I agree with that.
Exactly. All right. So firstly, let's do a 98.7 ESPN Hoops update brought to you by PointsBet.com. Get in on the action with PointsBet.com, the sports book you've been waiting for and preferred partner of Durrell Revis, Allen Iverson, and thousands more each and every day. PointsBet, stay sharp. Kentucky, Duke, Auburn, Michigan State, they moved through last night. And now tonight you have two games, Gonzaga, Texas Tech, and Virginia goes up against Purdue. I know that, and we had this conversation on, I think it was Thursday with you about Duke, and the odds have decreased of winning the whole thing. But, RJ, the eye test doesn't lie. No Cam Reddish. They don't look great to me.
Well, you know, listen, here's the math, though. You enter six games. You got to win the title, and Duke's halfway through. Now, I get the whole idea that the last three is much tougher than the first three, but and I also get, and we'll be talking about this, not only do the brackets history that we do before the brackets or before the tournament, but it helps you guide you picking now. So let me give you an example. It's been a vast majority of years, exactly one or two number one seeds make the Final Four. So now that we're at this round, and the sense is, oh, well, number one Virginia, number one Gonzaga, number, you know, like that, as if it's easy, as if it's obvious, Duke's going to make it. History, just for those three, for Virginia, Gonzaga, and Duke to make it, it really would be bucking history right there, for example. So now that North Carolina's out, now that one of them's out, odds are one of these three don't win this weekend.
So here's my question for you. We don't know about Cam Reddish. So is there no line on this game right now, waiting on the injury to the Duke star?
No, what will happen is, and there is a line. So right now Duke is favored by 2.5 in this game.
With the assumption of what?
Well, let me ask you, what do you think the line would be with Reddish 100% healthy?
Not much different, maybe 4.
Okay, and what do you think the line is if he's out?
What do I think it should be or what I think it would be?
Would be.
Duke by 1.5.
Okay, so really, if that's the case, the market is saying odds are he's not going to play. And that's the way that the market, and this is an example, and Walt, I always like doing this in New York City because we have a lot of Wall Street listeners. This is the case with when you see a merger, right? Merger price is 60. Current price on the stock is 50. And what's the odds the merger happens? 50%. Well, what's the price on the stock? 55. 50% between 50 and 60. Well, that's the way Vegas does it. What's the event we're talking about? What's the odds with him? What's the odds without him? What's the odds that he plays? Now, it gets a little more complicated with an injury because what happens if he plays but he's not 100%, and then they find that place somewhere in between. They're not going to – if this were a week from now, the game, they might let it sit for a while. But since there's only so much time, a handful of days here, 2 days in between these games, they don't want to have this off the board long enough. They're willing to accept a little extra risk, the bookmakers – in order to make sure they get the action they want on the game.
If I said to you right now, you have to take one of these teams to win the whole thing, would you still take Duke?
Oh, you know, there's this stat, and I mean, it's such a stunner our head CBB guy came up with. Excuse me. It's since the three-point shot became part of the college basketball in 1987, no team with a percentage of three-pointers made as low as Duke has ever even made the Final Four. Now, considering the fact that three-pointers today in 2019 are so much more important than they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it makes it even more like, how can this team, this sounds like it would be the, like this Duke team would be the best team ever pre-1987. Like, that's an interesting question. I asked my guys on my show this, Dave. Let me ask you. How big of much bigger of a favorite would Duke be right now if they decided to play the rest of the tournament without the three-pointer?
Boy, it's a good question. I think they'd be a bigger favorite. I do. Because they don't shoot the three-pointer well. And that's the – I mean, look at Auburn last night. You shoot the three well, you can blow somebody out of the water. So I think they'd be the prohibitive favorite if they were healthy, if there was no three.
Yeah, but, I mean, imagine if I would have told you – there's a college basketball team that's going to be the favorite the entire year. That's going to be a historical favorite. That's going to not only not be a good three-point shooting team, but it's going to be a historically bad three-point shooting team. That's almost incomprehensible. It's almost hard to believe.
Yeah, but they're so talented, and therein lies the difference, right?
That's the point. Is we've got a team so good at the old school way to play basketball that they are even favored over the best of the new school basketball. Like, how would last year's Villanova team do against this Duke team?
I think they would beat them.
All right, and that's history. But at least the odds say history says this season Duke was the better team. Throughout a vast majority of the year, Duke was the second biggest favorite in the history of the last decade. As in, if you looked at their odds at each given point of the season, only the undefeated Kentucky team was considered to be the better team in the last decade. So I'm not saying that's correct. I'm not saying those odds weren't wrong. But it is fascinating. You know, to me, it's almost like the old school UFC before everyone, and not that I'm an expert at UFC, but everyone figured out, all right, jiu-jitsu and some variation is the way to win. But it'd be some wrestler against a boxer. And it's like, this skill set versus that skill set, what wins, right? And here it is, Duke saying, we're not a three-point shooting team against the modern era teams. And at least up to this point, Duke's been the best team in the country this season.
You want to hear a funny story? You bring up UFC. I'm going to let you in behind the curtain. I think you'll appreciate this. So years ago, in my 20s, I'm working at a news organization, and there's a girl that she's adorable, and I ask her out. And I'm not sure that I want to. It's strange to go out with someone from work. I said, come on, right? I put on the full court press since we're talking about March Madness. And finally, she goes, you know what? Okay. Let's go out. I just want to tell you, because I tell everyone this, my ex-boyfriend was one of the Gracie brothers. I said, you know what? Maybe this isn't the exact avenue we should go down. Yeah. Maybe this isn't the best of ideas.
Now, exactly what was the context? She told you that?
She just wanted full disclosure to tell me that she used to date one of the Gracie brothers. And I was like, you know what? It's not worth it. I thought about you even before I ever knew who you were, and thought risk reward, and the reward was not worth the risk.
And how was the relationship? Did she, cause you got her to the point of saying yes?
Yeah, but then it wasn't worth it. I mean, if you need to tell me that at one point in your life you dated one of the Gracie brothers, and that needs to be disclosed before
maybe
we go out.
Maybe that was her saying she likes macho men, and she was looking at you being a little feminine and saying, you know, maybe you can butch up somehow.
Yeah, why do you have to take shots at me?
I'm letting
you in behind the curtain.
See, that's what's interesting. You consider that to be bad. I don't. I think that your delicate ways, a lot of people would like that.
At least I cut my fingernails, pal. Taking shots in me. I thought I'd tell you a cute story, a funny story, and that you would appreciate.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. There's nothing virtuous about that story. One, full court press at work. Everyone's thinking, man, I wonder how those emails would stand up in 2019.
It was not emails. I didn't leave a paper trail. You think I'm an idiot?
And then number two, it was like you finally get her over. And it's not like saying, oh, by the way, my ex is still into me. He's stalking me, and he's a Gracie brother. It was just, you know, just saying, hey, I used to date a Gracie brother.
Yeah, but why would that need to be told?
Maybe
that was
just
my
her
thought. Why would she need to tell me, oh, by the way, I at one point dated one of the Gracies. If
I
not
think
tell
maybe
me,
maybe she's affirming the fact that she's a catch, and it makes sense that you're breaking, you know, that maybe whatever the rules of the corporate structure were, whatever kind of Me Too movement stuff you went against back then, just to get her saying, maybe you made a good decision because I'm not desirable.
Maybe, but we will never know.
And you ran the other way. Now,
Carl Lewis, I ran the other way.
Do you know where she is now?
I have no idea.
Well, during the first commercial break, why don't you look her up on Facebook?
Yeah, you know how the Gracie's at my door.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.